morning.
Good morning.
I just read something online recently, and that I found it touched me. And a few other church members read it, and a few other friends of mine, and it touched us. And we thought it might be good to share with you today. This reading was adapted from a post online by blogger Dan Pierce. And this is what he wrote. Today, I want to talk about something that's bothered me for the better part of a decade. I've carved out no fewer than a dozen drafts of this, all strangely unalike, all ultimately failing to accomplish the job I've set out to do. Truth is, I've been trying to compose this off and on for more than a year now, and the right words have been seemingly impossible to come by. In the end, I guess I had to care more about the message than I do about potential backlash. I'm not being facetious when I say that I hope I can get this message across without offending, well, everybody. What I really hope is that this will spark and encourage poignant and worthwhile discussion that will lead to some poignant and worthwhile changes in the lives of at least a few people who are hurting. That being said, I believe some strong words need to be said today. God hates fags. We've all seen the signs being waved high in the air by members of the Westboro Baptist Church on TV, in real life. It's hard not to take notice. Over the years, I've watched seemingly never-ending disgustingness and hatred spill across the media airwaves from those who belong to that organization. For those who don't know much about that church, they have made a seedy name for themselves by doing drastic things like picketing beneath atrocious signs and hosting flagrant anti-gay protests at military funerals. Almost every person of nearly every religion has no problem loathing and condemning the Westboro Baptist Church and its members, and perhaps with reason. They take freedom of speech far beyond what our founding fathers intended when they fought to give us that right, and they laugh at the rest of the world while they do. But today, I don't want to talk about those idiots. I want to talk about you and me and my friend, who I'll call Jacob. Jacob is 27 years old, and guess what? He's gay. Not a lot of people know. He lives in a community where being gay is very frowned upon. I was talking to him on the phone a few weeks ago, telling him about my failed attempts to compose this. He was trying to hold his emotions in, but he eventually became tearful as we deliberated the very problem that this attempts to discuss. Now, before I go on, I feel I must say something. This is not about homosexuality. It's not about Christians. It's not about religion. It's not about politics. It's about something else altogether, something greater, something simpler. It's about love. It's about kindness. It's about friendship. And love, kindness, and friendship are three things that Jacob hasn't felt in a long time. I'm thankful he gave me permission to share our conversation with you. It went something like this. "Jacob, I honestly don't know how to say it," I said. "I know what I want to get across, but I can never find the right words." "Dan, you need to say it. Don't give up. I'm telling you, it needs to be said." I paused. "You don't understand. It's too heated a subject. It's something people are very emotional and touchy about. I'd be lynched." My friend hesitated. "Dan, you're the only friend I have that knows I'm gay. The only one." "What do you mean? I know you've told other friends." That's when his voice cracked. He began crying. "Every single person I've told has ditched me. They just disappear. They stop calling. They remove me from Facebook. They're just gone," he said. "They can't handle knowing and being friends with a gay person." I didn't know what to say, so I didn't say anything. "You don't know what it's like, man. You don't know what it's like to live here and be gay. You don't know what it's like to have nobody. You don't know what it's like to have your own parents hate you and try to cover up your existence. I didn't choose this. I didn't want this. And I'm so tired of people hating me for it. I just can't take it anymore. I just can't. How do you respond to that? I wanted to tell him it was all in his head. I knew it wasn't. I wanted to tell him it would get better and easier. The words would have been hollow and without conviction, and I knew it. You see, I live in this community too, and I've heard the hate. I've heard the disgust. I've heard the disdain. I've heard the gossip. I've heard the distrust. I've heard the anger. I've heard it all, and I've heard it tucked in disguise neatly beneath a wrapper of self-righteousness and a blanket of caring or religious words. I've heard it more times than I care to number, about gay people, about people who dress differently, about people who act differently, about fat people, about people with drug addictions, about people who smoke, about people with addictions to alcohol, about people with eating disorders, about people who fall away from their faiths, about people who aren't members of the dominant local religion, about people who have non-traditional piercings or tattoos, about people who just look at you or me the wrong way. I've heard it, and I've heard it over and over and over again. Heck, in the past, and to some degree in the present, I participated in it. I propagated it. I smugly took part in it. I'll admit that. And I did so under the blanketing term Christian. I did so believing that my actions were somehow justified because of my beliefs at the time. I did so actually believing that such appointments were done out of love. This isn't just a phenomenon in Utah. I've lived and worked in other places. It was just as bad in Denver. It's just as bad in California. I see it on blogs. I hear it on television shows and radio programs. I hear it around my own family's dinner table from time to time, usually said so passively, so sneakily, and so righteously from Christians, from Buddhists, from Hindus, from Muslims, from Jews. God hates fags. God hates addicts. God hates people who shop at Salvation Army. God hates people who aren't just like me. People may not be holding up picket signs and marching around in front of television cameras, but come on. Why is it that so many incredible people who have certain struggles, problems, or their own beliefs of what is right and wrong feel so hated? Why do they feel so judged? Why do they feel so loathed? What undeniable truth must we all eventually admit to ourselves when such is the case? Now, I'm not religious. I'm also not gay. But I'll tell you right now that I've sought out religion. I've looked for what I believe truth to be. For years, I studied trying to find it. Every major religion has good selling points. Every major religion, if I rewound far enough, had some pretty incredible base teachings from some pretty incredible individuals. And check this out, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. In Christianity, Jesus taught, love one another. Also, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her, her being a woman who cheated on her man. In Buddhism, Buddha taught, hatred does not cease by hatred, but only by love. This is the eternal rule. Also, holding on to anger is like grasping a hot coal with the intent of throwing it at someone else. You are the one who gets burned. According to Hindus, do not get angry or harm any living creature, but be compassionate and gentle. Show goodwill to all. It's Krishna. And love means giving selflessly, excluding none, and including all. It's Rama. According to Muslims, Muhammad taught, a true Muslim is the one who does not defame or abuse others, but the truly righteous becomes a refuge for humankind, their lives and their properties. And also, do you love your creator? Love your fellow beings first. And in Judaism, the scriptures teach, love your neighbor like yourself. And Examine the contents, not the bottle. The greatest spiritual leaders in history have all preached love for others as the basis for all happiness, and never did they accompany such mandates with a list of unlovable actions or deeds. They never said, love everybody except for the gays, love everybody except for the homeless, love everybody except for the drug users, love everybody except for the gang members, or those covered in ink, or the spouse abusers. They didn't tell us it was okay to love everybody with the exception of the trailer trash, or those living in poverty, or the illegal immigrants. They didn't tell us it was okay to love everybody except our ex-lovers, or our lovers' ex-lovers, or our ex-lovers' lovers. The mandate was pretty darn clear, wasn't it? Love others, period. So, if this is the founding directive of all the major religions, why is it that sometimes the most Christ-like people are they who have no religion at all? Let me repeat that. Why is it that sometimes the most Christ-like people are they who have no religion at all? I've known a lot of people in my life, and I can tell you this. Some of the ones who understood love better than anyone else were those who the rest of the world had long before measured as lost or gone. Some of the people who were able to look at the dirtiest, the poorest, the gays, the straights, the drug abusers, those in recovery, the basest of sinners, and those who were just plain different, they were able to look at them all and only see strength, beauty, potential, hope. And if we boil it all down, isn't that what love actually is? Don't get me wrong, I know a lot of incredible Christians too. I know some incredible Buddhists and Muslims and Hindus and Jews. I know a lot of amazing people, devout in their various religions, who truly love the people around them. I also know some atheist, agnostic, or religionless people who are absolutely hateful of believers. They loathe their religious counterparts. They love only those who believe or don't believe the same things they do. In truth, having a religion doesn't make a person love or not love others. It doesn't make a person accept or not accept others. It doesn't make a person befriend or not befriend others. Being without a religion doesn't make somebody do or be any of that either. No. What makes somebody love, accept, and befriend their fellow human is letting go of a need to be better than others. Nothing else. I know there are many who believe that living a homosexual life is a sin. Okay. But what does that have to do with love? What does that have to do with love? Come on, don't we understand? Don't we get it? To put our arm around someone who's gay, someone who has an addiction, somebody who lives a different lifestyle, someone who's not what we think they should be, doing that has nothing to do with enabling them or accepting what they do is okay with us. It has nothing to do with encouraging them in their practice of what you or I feel or believe is wrong versus right. It has everything to do with being a good human being, a good person, a good friend. That's all. To put our arm around somebody who's different. Why is that so hard? I'm not here to say that homosexuality is a sin or isn't a sin. To be honest, I don't give a rip. I don't care. I'm not here to debate whether or not it's natural or genetic. Again, I don't care. These debates hold no encumbrance for me. What I care about is the need so many of us have to shun and loathe others. The need so many of us have to feel better or superior to others. The need some of us have to declare ourselves right and perfect all the time in any chance we have. And for some of us, these are very real needs. But I'll tell you this, all it really is, all any of it really is bullying. Sneaky, hurtful, duplicitous bullying. Well, guess what? There are things we all do or believe that other people consider sinful. There are things we all do or believe that other people consider wrong. There are things we all do or believe that other people would be disgusted or angered by. Yes, but I have the truth, most people will adamantly declare. Okay, whether you do or not, I promise you, it doesn't matter what you believe, how strongly you live your beliefs or how true your beliefs are. Somebody else, somewhere, thinks you are in the wrong. Somebody else, somewhere, thinks your beliefs are senseless or illogical. Somebody else, somewhere, thinks you have it all wrong. In fact, there are a lot of people in this world who do. We each understand that. We already know that. It's the world we live in, and we're not naive. We're not stupid. We get it. Yet, we expect and want love anyway. We expect and want understanding. We expect and want tolerance. We expect and want humanity. We expect and want respect for our beliefs, even from those who don't believe the same things we do. Even from those who think we're wrong, or unwise, or incorrect. We expect all of that from the people who disagree with us, and who disagree with our lifestyles and beliefs, because, let's be honest, nothing we do is actually bad enough to be worthy of disgust, anger, hatred, cold shouldering, right? None of the ways in which we live our lives would warrant such behavior. None of our beliefs are worthy of ugly disdain from others, right? No, we're all perfect. Amazingly, impossibly perfect. But the gays, well, shoot. You know what I think? I think it doesn't matter if you or I or anybody else thinks homosexuality is a sin. I think it doesn't matter if you or I think anything's a sin. It doesn't matter if homosexuality is a sin or not. In fact, it doesn't matter if anything anybody else does is a sin or not, because sin's a very personal thing. It always has been and always will be. And it has nothing to do with love. Absolutely nothing. Disparity and difference have nothing to do with love. We shouldn't choose who we'll love and who we won't. I'm Christian, unless you're gay. I mean, that's the message we're sending, you know. I'm Christian, unless I'm hotter than you. I'm Christian, unless I'm uglier than you. I'm Christian, unless I found out you cheated on your income taxes. I'm Christian, unless you cut me off in traffic. I'm Christian, unless you fall in love with the person I once fell in love with. I'm Christian, unless you're that guy who stinks on the subway. I'm Christian, unless you're of a different religion. Oh, but you're not gay? You're clean and well-dressed and you have a job? You look the way I think you should look? And act the way I think you should act? You believe the same things I believe? Well, then I'm definitely a Christian. To you, today I'm a Christian. You've earned it. I'll bet you've heard that message from others. Maybe you've given that message to others. Either way, I hope we can all agree that we mustn't live that message. We just shouldn't. But many of us do. And we do it all the time. For some of us, it might as well be tattooed across our foreheads. Maybe not in those words. But the message is clear to those who hear and are listening. It's clear to those who are watching and seeing. The message has been very clear to my friend Jacob. Every single person I've told has ditched me. They just disappear. They stop calling. They remove me on Facebook. They're just gone. They can't handle knowing and being friends with a gay person. You don't know what it's like, man. You don't know what it's like to live here and be gay. You don't know what it's like to have absolutely nobody. You don't know what it's like to have your own parents hate you and try and cover up your existence. I didn't choose this. I didn't want this. And I'm so tired of people hating me for it. I can't take it anymore. I just can't. Jacob is a dear friend. He's my brother. He's a darn good human being. He's absolutely incredible. He's also gay. But why does that make any difference at all? It doesn't, not to me. And I wish with everything inside of me that it didn't make any difference to others. I wish we didn't all have to find ways that we're better than others or more holy and saintly than others in order to feel better about our own messy selves. I wish people wouldn't cluster entire groups of people together and declare the whole lot unworthy of any love or respect. But that's the point of such thinking and action, isn't it? I mean, it's simpler that way. It makes it easier for us to justify our thoughts, words, and prejudices that way. All these people become clumped together. And in the process, they're all somehow less than human. They become unworthy of our love. And what a great thing it is when that happens, right? I mean, it helps us to free ourselves from the very directives that have been passed down for millennia from the greatest teachers and philosophers in history. It makes our rationalization for hatred, bigotry, and abhorrence so easily justifiable, so maskable, so right. It gives us the golden chance to look at ourselves and not be disgusted at what the glass reflects back at us. Then, sadly, and ultimately, it pushes us to the point where we no longer have any sort of arm to put around others at all. We no longer have a hand to offer our fellow human beings. We no longer have a need to. And why would we? Why the heck should we? Unless, of course, we actually want to live what we all so often claim that we believe. My friends, this has to stop. We have to put our ugly picket signs down. We have to be the examples that help make it happen in our own lives and in the lives of people that surround us. We have to be that voice. We each must be that voice. We must tell others that we will not accept or listen to such hurtful and hateful sentiments. We must tell others that we will not accept or listen to such hurtful, other such hurtful sentiments. We must show love where love doesn't right now exist. Will you please join me? My request today is simple. Today, tomorrow, next week, find somebody, anybody, that's different than you. Somebody that's made you feel ill will or even hateful. Somebody whose life decisions have made you uncomfortable. Somebody who practices a different religion than you do. Somebody who's been lost to addiction, perhaps. Somebody with a criminal past. Somebody who dresses below you. Somebody with disabilities. Somebody who lives an alternative lifestyle. Somebody without a home. Somebody that you, until now, would always avoid, always look down on, or be disgusted by. Reach your arm out and put it around them. And then tell them you're all right. Tell them they have a friend. Tell them you love them. If you or I want to make a change in this world, that's where we're going to be able to do it. That's where we'll start. Every single time. Because you'll find, and I promise you this, is that the more you put your arm around those that you might naturally look down on, the more you will love yourself. And the more you love yourself, the less need you'll ever have to find fault or be better than others. And the less we all find fault or have a need to be better than others, the quicker this world becomes a far better place to live. Don't we all want to live in a better world? Don't we all want our kids to grow up in a better, less hateful, more beautiful world? I know I do. So let's be that voice. Let's offer that arm to others. Because the honest truth is, there's going to come a day when you or I are going to need that same courtesy. There's going to come a day that we are desperate for that same arm to be put around us. We'll be desperate for that same friendship. We'll be desperate for that same love. Life will make sure of it. For you, for me, for everyone. It always does. Because as it turns out, there's not a darn person on earth who's perfect. Thank you for letting me share this. This was written, as I said, by Dan Pierce.